Hey folks, this is Kiri Arentakai, reading Keep Track of Losing Days by Drafter, Chapter 9, Jailbreak. So I just noticed in the last 10 minutes that this work is part of a series. There is an extra on Xiao Xingchen and Shui Yang, and an extra post the story with Wang Xian. Both of them are rated M, so I'm not entirely sure like if I'll do them as live reads or if I can handle 3,000 words of Xiao Xingchen, Shui Yang. But one way or another, probably I will add those at some point. Okay. After I said that, I clicked away from my window. All right. Yeah, I am very excited for them to be at least together. And I think part of the reason why it is comforting that they're together while kidnapped is not only, you know, for ship reasons, but, you know, it means that our POV is going to be keeping track of them both now. So we aren't going to have death off page. I think that's part of why the comfort is there, that we're at least like present. We know what's happening. That for me is always the thing. I always just want to know what's happening. That's a big part of my way of dealing with anxiety. Okay. So, author's notes, content warning for this chapter, guns. All right. Wang Ji opens his eyes into total darkness. With no windows in the storage room, it's impossible to tell what time it is. But since he's awake, he assumes it's about 5 a.m. He's lying on his back, with Wei Ying half wrapped around him, half on top of him. This wasn't exactly how he'd envisioned his first time sharing a bed with Wei Ying, but it's almost worth the fear and panic of the last few days, the very real danger they're both still in, just to be lying here. Wei Ying's breathing deep and even against him, the ends of Wei Ying's hair tangled in his fingers. Closing his eyes, he tries not to wake up, tries to chase the sleep-warm space they're floating in for just a little while longer. His body is leaden, crying out for more sleep. But he's never been someone who could sleep in. Once he's awake, no matter how late he stayed up the night before. He opens his eyes again and stares up at the ceiling, trying to take stock of their predicament. Wei Ying's safety is at least somewhat guaranteed until the website is finished, which buys them a bit of time there. Last night, when Julio had gotten the order from somewhere, Wen Chao, Wen Rohan, Meng Yao, not to kill Wang Ji, but that's not the kind of thing Wang Ji should be relying on. The longer he's here, the more he sees and hears, the more appealing killing him is going to seem. He needs to get out of here, sooner rather than later. They both do. Wei Ying is a genius. Wang Ji is entirely certain that he would not have remained trapped here for 6 days unless he'd chosen not to escape. No doubt the threat to Wen Ying is keeping him contained, but perhaps the two of them can work out a solution. Regardless, Wei Ying knows much more about the lay of the land here. There's not a lot of point in starting to plan in earnest until Wei Ying wakes up. In the meantime, he has Wei Ying in his arms, and if he's going to die today, he might as well savor every moment that he can. He lies there quietly, Wei Ying's breath against his chest, the skin of Wei Ying's arm smooth and warm under his palm, feeling more at peace than he has in days. Eventually, he can no longer ignore his own bladder, and, sighing, decides to get up. He extricates himself from Wei Ying's arms as gently as he can. Wei Ying stirs and mumbles something incomprehensible, but doesn't wake. Wang Ji uses the small bathroom, then splashes some water on his face. The Wens have left Wei Ying a comb, a toothbrush, some toothpaste, and some deodorant. Wang Ji avails himself of the comb and the deodorant and cleans his teeth with some toothpaste on his finger, trying to scrub away as much of the unpleasant, up-too-late-slept-in-his-clothes feeling as he can. He leaves the bathroom light on and the door ajar to let some light into the storeroom without turning on the harsh overhead lights and possibly waking Wei Ying. He settles down onto the floor to meditate. Today is probably going to suck, and he can use all the mental clarity he can get. An hour later, Wei Ying is still sleeping, and Wang Ji's back is starting to ache from sitting on the hard concrete floor. He gets up and sits down at the computer. The code for the website is stored in a series of files Wang Ji can't make head or tail of, but the computer's operating system still includes the other programs it was bundled with. He plays solitaire until 7, which he judges to be a reasonable hour to wake Wei Ying. they need to talk about what they're going to do. In Wang Ji's absence, Wei Ying has spread out on the cot like a starfish, one hand dangling over the side toward the floor. Wang Ji's heart swells at the sight of him, his face unlined in sleep, his hair spread over the pillow, his lips slightly parted. He bends down and slides his hand onto Wei Ying's back. "Wei Ying," he says softly. He has to say it a few times before Wei Ying so much as stirs, but eventually he feels Wei Ying's breathing change under his hand. Wei Ying groans into the pillow. "Wake up," Wang Ji says. "It's time to wake up." Wei Ying lifts his head a little. In the light from the bathroom, Wang Ji can see a line left on his face from a crease in the pillowcase. "What time's it?" Wei Ying mumbles groggily. 7. He groans again. "That's too early, Lan Zhan. Go back to sleep." He rolls over, grabbing Wang Ji's hand where it's been rubbing his back and attempting to pull him back into bed. Wang Ji smiles a little. "I've been up for a while." "Why?" Wei Ying whines. "Come on," Wang Ji insists, sitting down on the side of the cot. "We need to figure out what we're going to do." Wei Ying rolls onto his back, covering his face against the light coming in. He rubs his hands over his face, then uncovers one eye to squint at Wang Ji. He blinks, a slow, sleepy smile coming to his face. "Hey." "Hi," Wang Ji replies, smiling back. Wei Ying pushes himself into a sitting position. Okay, I'm up. I'm getting up," he mumbles. He swings his feet onto the floor, hauls himself out of bed, and shuffles into the bathroom, grumbling. Wang Ji turns on the light and, for a lack of anything better to do, makes the bed, immediately ruining the effect by sitting back down on it. Presently, Wei Ying emerges, looking marginally more awake, his hair freshly combed and loose around his shoulders. He pauses in the doorway, looking at Wang Ji. "You're really here," he says quietly. Wang Ji nods. His heart is a delicate, fluttering thing living at the back of his throat. Wei Ying looks down at the floor, the tiniest, shy smile on his full lips, and busies himself with pulling his hair up into a knot at the back of his head. The silence between them is careful, fragile, the intimacy of the night before translating uneasily into the harsh fluorescent light of day. "Well," Wei Ying breaks the quiet with a sudden burst of distracted movement, striding over to plop himself down in front of the computer, hooking one leg over the chair's arm. "This complicates matters," he sighs, swiveling back and forth. "So they're not going to talk about it. On to the matter at hand, then." "What is your plan, as of right now?" Wang Ji asks. "I know you must have one." Knowing Wei Ying, he probably has 5 or 6 with nested contingencies. "Oh, sure, I got plans. I got all kinds of plans," Wei Ying says dully. He's fiddling with a strand of his hair, winding and unwinding it around his fingers, like he does when he's thinking hard. "Up until last night, my plan was to finish the website." "That's it?" "I've built some extra code into the back end of the site," Wei Ying says, still fiddling with his hair, not looking directly at Wang Ji. "It's buried pretty deep, but it would be pretty hard for someone who didn't know exactly what they were looking for to spot it. Once the site is live, it'll document user activity, purchases, payment info, whatever it can log, and start sending it in batches to you and Jiangqiang. Should be enough to take at least some of the Wens down, along with the site." "Wei Ying, that's..." Wang Ji swallows. "They'll kill you for that, when they figure it out." Wei Ying quirks into a gloomy half-smile. "Ah, Lan Zhan," he says with a morose little chuckle. "They were always going to kill me." Wang Ji takes a minute to process that. "I know too much," Wei Ying says, matter of fact, "about all of this." "Wei Ying." "Wen Ying is their cousin," Wei Ying continues, and now he's almost pleading with Wang Ji to understand. "They'll kill him if they have to, but I think they don't want to. Once the site is live, they'll have no further need for leverage over me. They'll let him go. After that," he shrugs, "I don't know, I'll improvise."
"Improvise?"
"Yeah, improvise," he laughs. "I hate to break it to you, Lan Zhan, but that's usually my plan. I can't bust out of here because I have no idea where they've got Wen Ying, and they'll see it on the camera anyway. I wouldn't even get out of the building. I can't call for help because the second the help arrives, Wen Ying is dead. I can't think of how I'm going to get out of this until I know how I'm getting him out of it, and right now, finishing the website is my best option for that.
So that's your plan? Wang Ji asks,
and he can hear the anger mounting in his voice.
Just throw yourself on the grenade and hope for the best?
Wei Ying looks him in the eye. I'm not afraid to die, he says evenly. I'd prefer not to, all other things being equal, but I'm not afraid to, if it comes down to that.
And you think your friend would want you to just blithely sacrifice your life for him?
No, actually, I'm pretty sure he'd hate it, but he's welcome to hate it all he wants while he's alive and safe.
Wei Ying's voice bounces harshly off of the walls of the small room. He blinks, like he's surprised at himself, and takes a deep breath, letting it out slowly, his eyes sliding away again. He folds his arms, hunching his shoulders into himself.
As are you, he adds, his voice gone small and quiet.
Wang Ji folds his own arms in retaliation.
I hate this plan.
Wei Ying glances up, arches an eyebrow at him.
Yes, I received that impression.
We need a new plan.
Obviously. We need to figure out how we're getting you out of here.
That is not what I meant,
Wang Ji says, as sternly as he knows how.
Wei Ying grins at him.
I know. He turns toward the computer. I'm going to work on this website now, and I will try to think of a plan while I do it. And just for you, I will try to make it a plan in which neither of us is killed. You, he waves a hand, I don't know, sit there. I don't have an alternate activity for you. And also try to think of a plan. We have, he glances at the computer's clock, between 30 and 90 minutes to think of something.
What? Why?
Every day, sometime between 8 and 9, they bring me breakfast. It would be good for us to have our new and improved plan in place before then. He tosses Wang Ji a wink over his shoulder. You know, just in case they try to kill you.
Wang Ji frowns at the back of his head. Now is not the time for black humor.
On the plus side, Wei Ying says, if they don't kill you at breakfast, I will have had caffeine, so our mid-morning planning will go a lot better. He opens a file and starts typing and clicking away.
Wang Ji sits and watches him and thinks. A few minutes pass in silence.
How would we get out of here?
Wang Ji asks.
Hang on. Wei Ying finishes typing something, then swivels around to face him.
What?
You said you couldn't break out because you don't know where they have Wen Ying, and because they'd see it on the camera.
Yeah?
You did not say that you don't know how to get out.
Wei Ying's luscious mouth curves into a sly, knowing smile. It's so sexy that Wang Qi almost forgets they're supposed to be formulating a plan.
Lan Dan, Wei Ying says approvingly. You really do pay attention.
So, Wang Ji spreads his hands, enlighten me.
Well, Wei Ying begins, his eyes going a little sparkly.
He pauses, sits up. Actually, I'm going to work while I talk in case they're watching. He swivels back around to face the computer. Doing so also puts his back to the security camera. Anyone watching wouldn't know he was talking at all. The door is reinforced steel, and the lock is way beyond my abilities to pick, especially limited to only the tools in this room.
Same here, Wang Ji nods.
If Wen Chao's office door had been toward the limit of his lockpicking capabilities, this door is far beyond them. I'm pretty sure they installed the door just for this little project, which is kind of bonkers. They built a little prison in here just for me.
They built me a prison, I build them a website,
Wei Ying snorts.
Sounds like a Panic at the Disco song.
Wang Ji doesn't know what that means.
So, not the door. What else?
Hang on. He types something, copies it, pastes it into a different window. The outer walls of this room are cinder block, but the inner walls, like the one the door is set into, are made of drywall. Wang Ji casts an appraising glance around them.
This is a storage room. Nobody's supposed to be sleeping in here, or even hanging out in here, really, which means there's no reason to care about soundproofing the room. You heard how loud it gets down here when the club's open.
I did. It also means that this room isn't subject to the same building codes as, like, a bedroom in a residential home would be, which is relevant to our interests. Because it means the builders didn't have to pay as much attention to things like fire safety.
You want to burn down the building?
Megan cackles. With us inside? No, thank you, although I appreciate your flair for the dramatic. No, what all that means is that the drywall on that wall is only about a quarter inch thick, because whoever built this place did a shitty job. The door is reinforced, but the wall isn't.
How do you know all of this?
Oh, you pick up all kinds of things when you're fighting the machine, Wei Ying says airily. My friend Song Lan is a lawyer, and he spends a lot of time suing slumlords on behalf of various tenants' rights organizations. Thin drywall is a popular way to cut corners, and it's a terrible fire hazard.
Wang Ji eyes the wall. So we smash through the wall.
Yep. Smash it, kick it, pry a leg off the desk on the bed or the bed and use that. Layer of drywall, gap of maybe 3 to 4 inches, a second layer of drywall, and we're through. The widest gap between studs is right next to the door, there.
Wei Ying gestures with his chin, not taking his eyes off the monitor.
So that's where we'd want to do it. Figured that out my first night in here. But it's no good, he sighs. Even with the thin drywall, it would take at least a few minutes to break a big enough hole for a person to fit through. They'd see us on camera. Even if we could get out without getting caught, we still don't know where Wen Ying is, and they'd definitely be pissed enough to kill him.
He laughs ruefully. Trust me, I've spent a lot of time thinking about this the last however many days.
They sit for a while, the only sound in the room the clicking of Wei Ying's mouse, the tap of his fingers on the keyboard.
What has their schedule been so far?
Wang Ji asks.
Hmm?
Wei Ying is still typing.
You said they bring you breakfast between 8 and 9. What's the rest of the day like?
Let's see. Breakfast between 8 and 9, yeah. That's usually when they bring me whatever new assets I've requested for the site, too.
Who brings it to you?
Wei Ying shrugs. Couple guys. Always two, but not always the same two. One to watch the door, one to hand stuff off.
They tell you what to do with the website?
No, Wei Ying scoffs. I don't think these guys even know how a website works. All the instructions and stuff are on the flash drives they give me, along with the assets, images, fonts, whatever else I need. When I need something, I send back a drive with a note on what I need. He opens a desk drawer and pulls out a generic black flash drive, identical to the ones Wang Ji had found in Meng Yao's office, and waves it at Wang Ji to illustrate his point before turning back to the computer. I had something caught in my throat there, and it's impossible to voice Lan Wang Ji with something obstructing your throat, because it all comes from the throat. Okay.
I bet I know where those notes are going,
Wang Ji thinks.
What else?
Lunch sometime between noon and 1, similar deal. At some point, usually with lunch, but sometimes with breakfast, Wen Chao comes in to throw his weight around and yell at me about the website not being done, because that's helpful.
Wei Ying glances over his shoulder at Wang Ji.
Probably show up with breakfast today. Gotta be psyched to yell at you as well. Nice little change of pace for him. Remembering the burns on Wei Ying's arm, Wang Ji idly wonders how many times in a row he could punch Wen Chao before getting shot. Upwards of 5, he thinks, especially if he tried to move around a lot while he was doing it. Then dinner between 6 and 8. That's when I get my daily proof-of-life picture of Wen Ying.
Wei Ying shakes his head.
They're still doing the fucking newspaper thing. Like, I've had the opportunity to pick up a copy. Like, I'm so up on world events that I'm going to be like, ah, yes, this is definitely today's paper. Too many fucking movies, he snickers.
Do you have them? The pictures?
Sure. Wei Ying slides open the other desk drawer and pulls out a stack of papers, handing them to Wang Ji. There's not much to go on there, but take a look. The pictures look to have been printed on a basic office printer. Each one shows Wen Ying, his sister's dainty upturned nose and rosebud mouth in a more masculine cast, looking increasingly glassy-eyed and dejected as the days wear on. In each picture, he's sitting in a chair made of some kind of dark wood against a cream-colored wall. The newspaper he's holding up do appear to match up with Wang Ji's recollection of the last several days' news. Wei Ying is right. There's not much to go on.
Does Wen Qing know,
Wang Ji asks,
that you're here about the project?
She knows about the project because I told her about it when Chui Young first started trying to recruit me. Wei Ying says absently, typing away. I doubt she knows where I am, specifically, or Wen Ying either, or she'd be trying to do something. For all we know, she is trying to do something. She sure as hell wouldn't tell you about it, he snorts. She's seen what they do to people who talk to the cops. The two most recent pictures aren't framed so tightly around Wen Ying's face. Maybe they were taken by a different person, or maybe whoever's been taking the pictures has started to get lax as time passes. Whatever the reason, more of the background is visible in Friday's and Saturday's pictures. The cream-colored wall behind the chair appears to adjoin another wall of exposed brick, or possibly a brick fireplace. Above Wen Ying's head, the bottom inch or so of a painting or print or something hanging on the wall above him can be seen. Wang Ji picks up Saturday's photo and brings it closer to his face, turning it toward the light. The painting above Wen Ying's head is a series of blotches in primary colors. Squinting too close to the page makes the grainy resolution stand out, breaking the whole thing down into little dots. Wang Ji blinks, unfocusing and refocusing his eyes. He's pretty sure that the little blotches are interlocking human figures, but he's not sure why he thinks that. Wei Ying pipes up. I guess it's possible that Wen Qing... Shh! Wang Ji hisses at him, waving a hand. He moves the page closer to his eyes, then farther away. The little blotches are definitely interlocking human figures. It's hideous. It's familiar. Wei Ying, he murmurs. You shush me, Lan Zhan, Wei Ying pouts. Look back at the computer, Wang Ji says. He puts down the stack of photos and flops down onto his back on the cot as though frustrated. Don't react to what I'm about to tell you. Okay, Wei Ying says slowly, turning back to the monitor. What's up? Wang Ji rolls onto his stomach, pillowing his head in his hands, facing away from the camera. I know where Wen Ying is. I've been there before. It had been months ago. Si Chen had gotten them tickets for a dance performance at the Moor, and of course picked up an extra one from Meng Yao as well. They'd planned to have dinner somewhere in Belltown before the show, but Meng Yao had needed to make a stop first. To Wang Ji's surprise, they'd stopped at a luxury condo building, of the kind that had been springing up all over the city in the last few years, making construction cranes a seemingly permanent part of the skyline. The lobby was large, elegantly furnished, and entirely empty, their footsteps echoing in the cavernous space. When Meng Yao had pushed the call button, the elevator was already waiting at the ground floor. Jin Kor owns half a dozen units in this building via various trusts, Meng Yao had explained as they were whisked upward. It's a great investment. Very stable and with some tax benefits. A lot of multinational companies are starting to invest in luxury real estate, he added with an oily little chuckle. It was a Thursday evening, just after 5:30. Even in a well-soundproofed building, Wang Ji would expect to see people arriving home from work, to hear the faint sounds of conversations, TV, pots and pans banging around, but they walk out into an almost eerily silent hallway. An entire floor of multi-million-dollar condos, standing empty. Most of the units are still unfurnished, Meng Yao had explained, bustling down the hallway as though none of this was weird at all. But we've had a decorator come in to fix one up, so we have a place for international execs and guests of the firm to stay when they're in town. Meng Ji remembers the slight swelling of pride in his voice as he'd said, we. It was my suggestion to save on hotel costs and give our VIP some privacy. He and Si Chen had stood awkwardly in the living room while Meng Yao had scuttled around, making sure the fridge and coffee maker were stocked, leaving a plain manila envelope on the kitchen counter for whatever visiting dignitary was going to be gracing this unsettling place with their presence. Meng Ji had looked around with bored disinterest, noting the bland furnishings, the odd bric-a-brac scattered throughout the room, the atrocious art on the walls. Next to the brick fireplace, a piece in all primary colors. Simplistic human figures in red and yellow and blue, looking like a kindergartner's art project, probably costing more than the rent on his and Si Chen's apartment. Where is it? Wei Ying is asking now. His body has gone rigid in the computer chair, but he's as good as his word. He doesn't gasp or exclaim or look at Wang Ji at all, giving nothing to give a potential observer any indication of what they're discussing. Here in Belltown, Wang Ji says. He wants to laugh or maybe cry. He's so tired. Just a few blocks from here. Wei Ying inhales deeply, holds the breath for a moment, lets it out slowly.
What do you want to do?
Wang Ji gets up, crosses the room to look over Wei Ying's shoulder at the computer clock. It's 7:45. He puts a hand on Wei Ying's shoulder as he leans over him, letting his thumb brush along the bare skin at Wei Ying's collar. Wei Ying leans back into his hand.
Right now, Wang Ji says, I want to wait for them to bring us breakfast. After they leave, we're getting out of here.
Okay, Wei Ying says. He glances up at Wang Ji, his eyes huge and dark and full of apprehension and hope.
Okay, I like this plan. Do you have any of those flash drives that you don't need anymore?
Wei Ying blinks.
Yeah, why?
Can I have one?
Wei Ying pulls a flash drive out of the drawer and hands it to Wang Ji.
What are you going to do with it? Do you have a hidden USB port I don't know about? Are you a cyborg, Lan Zhan?
He laughs, that big dorky laugh. Wang Ji's very favorite laugh of his.
That would explain a lot about you if you were a cyborg.
I'm going to try to get a leg off of this cot.
Wang Ji lies down on the bed again in the same position, face down, head pointing away from the camera.
I'm not a cyborg.
See, that's exactly what someone who was secretly a cyborg would say, Wei Ying points out.
Wang Ji lets his hand dangle over the edge of the cot, feeling along the leg with his fingertips. The leg is aluminum, attached to the body of the cot with a hinge that would allow it to fold up as needed. It's bolted to the hinge in two spots, each with, as far as Wang Ji can tell by touch, a connector bolt seated into a smooth cap nut. The bolt sits flat against the inside of the cot leg, and thankfully appears to have a Phillips screw head. He shifts on the bed, attempting to take as much of his weight off of that leg as possible. It would be easier to do this from the floor, where his weight wouldn't be a factor and he could see what he was doing, but much harder to disguise his actions from the camera. In what he hopes is an unobtrusive manner, he brings the flash drive up to his face and bites down on the end, crushing it between his molars. His skin crawls with the unpleasant tooth-to-metal sensation, but he can feel things starting to give way beneath his teeth. He presses his jaw together as hard as he can. The inner USB plug cracks, splinters, and falls out of its metal housing into his mouth. He spits it out and bites down again. The metal plug casing squeaks under his teeth, slowly compressing. He takes it out and examines his progress, then returns to work, biting and crushing the metal housing until he's got a single metal edge, not totally flat, thanks to the indents of his teeth, but flat enough. A flathead screwdriver isn't the most efficient way to remove a Phillips head screw, but it will work. He lets his hand dangle over the edge of the cot again, testing his new tool against the heads of the bolts. It's a little too wide. Wang Ji puts his aching jaw to work again until he has a flattened edge that will fit inside the slots of the bolt head.
How's it going over there? Wei Ying asks, not turning away from the computer.
Making progress, he replies.
It takes a fair amount of effort to get the first bolt to start to turn. The angle is awkward, requiring Wang Ji to twist his wrist uncomfortably, which also reduces the amount of force he can bring to bear on it. The bolt is tightly machine set, and the fact that the hinge is still partially supporting Wang Ji's weight only adds to the force he's combating to get it to turn. Finally, his wrist screaming, his fingers sweat slippery against the plastic casing of the drive, he gets the first bolt to budge. From there, it's easier. He doesn't twist it all the way out, leaving it still partially seated in the nut so that the leg doesn't come off the cot before they're ready for it. He does the same for the second bolt, untwisting it until he feels the cot starting to creak beneath him. Elated, he sits up, subtly massaging his wrist.
Okay, he says, it's ready. What time is it?
8:15. He has a powerful urge to say, let's just go now, but they'll have a higher chance of success if they don't run into their breakfast delivery on the stairs.
Be patient, he tells himself. Not wanting to accidentally collapse the bed and give them away, he stands up, pacing around the room a few times. It's Sunday morning, he says. I can't imagine anyone's going to be staying at the nightclub all day, especially since they're not open tonight.
Wei Ying shakes his head. I don't think they'd leave us entirely unguarded.
No, probably not. Wang Ji agrees. But I doubt there will be more than one or two people in the building until the afternoon.
The best window of opportunity to break out will be between breakfast and lunch.
What do we do after we get out? Wei Ying asks.
I'll try that again.
What do we do after we get out?
Wei Ying asks. There's a wobble to his voice, but when Wang Ji glances in his direction, his face is steady, concentrating on the code in front of him.
Find a phone and call it in, Wang Ji says, as firmly as he knows how, leaning slightly into his cop voice to convey his confidence in this extremely risky plan.
Get units dispatched here and to the condo, then go to the condo ourselves to get Wen Ying. We'll probably be able to get there faster than dispatch can send a car, unless someone happens to be in the right area. And as you pointed out, time will be of the essence.
Do you really think we can do this?
I think it's our best option, Wang Ji says, which isn't a yes, but isn't a lie either.
Before Wei Ying can reply, they're interrupted by the sound of footsteps coming down the hallway.
Wei Ying wasn't kidding, Wang Ji thinks. These walls are really thin.
His stomach knots itself with nervous energy. He takes a cleansing breath, letting his face relax into its customary frosty blankness.
Breakfast time, Wei Ying says feebly.
There's the sound of a key turning in the door lock. The door swings open and Wen Chao sweeps into the room, trailed by Wen Julio and the guy from last night, the one who had been on the phone, who's holding a white paper bag and two paper cups of convenience store coffee.
Good morning, Wen Chao booms, gazing around the room like he owns the place, which Wang Ji supposes he technically does.
He's wearing a red silk shirt under a black leather jacket, his black snakeskin shoes polished to a mirror shine, a large, tacky ruby ring on one hand. He looks like he's wearing a costume somehow, like he's an extra from a mobster movie.
Wang Ji thinks about Wei Ying's too many movies comment and rolls his eyes inwardly.
How are the two of you feeling this fine morning? Wen Chao asks.
Neither of them replies. The guy with the paper bag sets it down on the desk. He hands a coffee cup to Wei Ying and crosses to hand the other one to Wang Ji. Wen Julio has closed the door behind them and is standing in the doorway, arms folded, looking deeply bored.
Detective Lan, Wen Chao continues. I hope you found our accommodations to your liking. I wasn't sure if you were a coffee drinker.
He isn't, but he takes a sip of the coffee anyway. It's black and burned and tastes terrible, but he could use the caffeine.
Wei Ying removes a bagel from the paper bag and hands it to him.
I have to say, detective, Wen Chao says, wagging a finger at him. I was disappointed to hear that you tried to break into my office last night. Not the upstanding behavior one would expect from Seattle's finest.
Now that he's examined the photos in detail, Wang Ji can actually see a bit of a family resemblance between Wen Chao and Wen Ying. Something in his high forehead, the shape of his face.
Wen Chao must have gotten his bulging eyes and sneering mouth from his mother's side of the family.
Wang Ji takes another sip of his coffee and holds his bagel, waiting for Wen Chao to leave. But it seems that the man has come here to make a little speech.
Now, the question arises, what am I going to do with you?
Wen Chao shakes his head, as though Wang Ji is a naughty child who's been caught misbehaving.
It would be easiest just to kill you, of course, he says, but I'd like to think bigger than that.
Wang Ji doubts that very much. Not exactly a criminal mastermind, Hoffman had said.
There's no reason that this little incident has to mean we can't be friends.
Wen Chao is pacing back and forth now, like he's giving a monologue on a stage.
I like a cop who's not afraid to get a little law-breaking...
Nope.
I like a cop who's not afraid to let a little law-breaking get in the way. I could always use another officer on the payroll, detective. It's shameful how little fine upstanding servants like yourself get paid. Providing you with supplementary income would practically be my civic duty. Not to mention, of course, my family's extensive political connections. With our support, you could be climbing the ranks in no time. Sergeant Lan? Captain Lan? It has a nice ring to it.
Apparently, they're going to be here for a while. Wang Ji sets his breakfast down on the desk and leans back against the wall, folding his arms. Wen Chao has yet to say anything that warrants an answer.
The choice is yours, detective, and it's not such a hard choice, Wen Chao declares. Make a great deal of money in exchange for doing us the occasional small favor, or die in a storage room, leaving your friends and family to wonder what became of you.
You won't kill him, Wei Ying says suddenly from the computer chair.
Wen Chao turns to look at him, eyes widening unpleasantly. You think I've never killed a cop before, Wei Wuxian? Wei Ying snorts derisively. You? He shakes his head. No, that's the kind of thing you have people do for you, isn't it? Wen Chao's lips thin into an angry little line, but Wei Ying keeps talking. No, he continues, sounding bored. You won't kill him because the lands own half of mainland China. This is an exaggeration, of course. Lan Industries' sphere of influence is mainly concentrated around Shanghai, unless you count their real estate buildings, which the Lans themselves do not. But an interesting argument, nonetheless. You won't kill him, Wei Ying says, rising to his feet now, getting into the spirit of the argument, because your daddy's money comes from smuggling stuff out of the port of Shanghai. He's pacing back and forth now, in a clear mockery of Wen Chao's manner, although Wang Ji doesn't know if Wen Chao will pick up on that. Wen Chao's eyes follow Wei Ying as he paces. Wen Julio and the guy who brought them breakfast are doing the same. Wang Ji might as well not exist, even though they're talking about him. He's known from the first that Wei Ying is charming, of course, that Wei Ying knows how to command attention when he wants to. But he's never seen the full raw force of his charisma brought to bear like this, like a weapon. Lan Industries is, among other things, the biggest container shipping company operating out of the biggest port in the world, which means your dad's shenanigans are way too small time for them to concern themselves with. But something tells me Wen Rohan would pop up on their radar pretty quickly, Wei Ying says with an arrogant grin, his eyes blazing, if his son killed the crown prince. Wen Chao glances towards Wang Ji at the phrase crown prince, and Wei Ying dodges quickly into his line of sight, keeping Wen Chao's attention firmly on him. If you were going to kill him, you would have done it already. Wei Ying's voice has gone low and dangerous. He steps forward, right into Wen Chao's face, and Wang Ji tenses. You're not going to kill him, Wei Ying says, with a sly half-smile, because you're not allowed to. Wen Chao's nostrils flare with rage. He smiles, a nasty, superior little smile, and backhands Wei Ying across the face. Wang Ji is on him before he even fully realizes what's happening, seizing the collar of Wen Chao's silk shirt and shoving him backwards against the wall, his forearm against Wen Chao's throat. Wen Chao squawks indignantly. He smells like cologne and cigarette smoke. It would be so easy to crush his windpipe. There's the immediate press of cold metal against Wang Ji's temple. The click as Wen Julio releases the gun safety is loud. In the suddenly quiet room. Detective, Wen Julio murmurs. We discussed this last night. Be smart. Slowly, Wang Ji removes his arm from Wen Chao's throat. Wen Chao glares at him. Wang Ji holds up his hands and steps back from the man, his breath coming fast in his chest. Keep going, Wen Julio instructs him, and Wang Ji keeps backing up until he's standing next to Wei Ying. He doesn't look directly at Wei Ying. He can't afford to right now. But out of the corner of his eye, he can see that Wei Ying is delicately prodding his cheekbone where Wen Chao hit him. Wen Chao stands up and away from the wall, adjusting his shirt. Interesting to see what finally gets a reaction out of you, Detective Lan, he purrs, walking toward Wang Ji with a deadly gleam in his eye. Wang Ji glowers at him. Don't worry, Wen Chao says, with a smile that's more like a snarl. Your little outburst won't affect our job offer. I am prepared to be a forgiving man. His eyes narrow. You should know, our incentive program goes beyond just money. You have a brother, I believe. It would be so easy for him to be in an accident just like your partner's. And speaking of Detective Nye, my sources tell me the two of you are very close, almost like family. It would be a shame for poor Detective Nye to suffer a stroke so soon after his motorcycle accident, although apparently it's more common than you might suspect. A hot wave of rage rises up in Wang Ji's chest, but he keeps still, keeps his face blank, says nothing. The site is almost ready, Wei Ying blurts out, once again drawing Wen Chao's attention back to him. I should have the staging site ready by tomorrow afternoon. His cheek is bleeding, just a little. Wen Chao's ridiculous, ostentatious ring must have cut him. Wang Ji decides that at some point he's going to make Wen Chao eat that ring. Finally, some progress, Wen Chao sneers. You see, Wei Wuxian, I knew you just needed a little incentive to get the work done. He pats Wei Ying's injured cheek paternalistically. Wenying doesn't even wince.
I'll give you some time to consider our proposal, Detective Lan, Wen Chao adds. But don't wait too long. I'd hate for something unfortunate to happen to someone you care about.
He glances at Wenying and smirks.
Well, someone else you care about.
He sweeps out of the room as grandly as he'd come in, trailed by his henchmen. The door locks firmly behind them.
Wang Ji turns to Wenying immediately, touching his shoulder, his face, where a new bruise is rising to the surface next to the older, fading mark.
Are you all right? He asks. He realizes his hands are shaking a little.
Fine, I'm fine, really. It's not as bad as it looks, Wenying assures him.
I can't believe you just grabbed him like that, he adds faintly, taking Wang Ji by the shoulders.
I thought they were about to kill you.
Wang Ji can't stop touching him, smoothing Weiying's hair back from his face, running his hand down Weiying's neck to his chest, feeling his breath, reassuring himself that Weiying is alive in one piece.
Why did you do that? He wants to ask him.
That was so stupid. That was so brave. But he can't say it. He can't say anything. And finally, all he can do is slide his hand up Weiying's spine to cup the back of his head and kiss him.
Wenying gasps a little, then wraps his arms around Wang Ji's neck and kisses him back, fiercely, savagely.
Wang Ji bends into him, pressing Wenying's head back, and Wenying's mouth opens under his, slick and hot and perfect, and not like a first kiss at all, kissing him like they've been doing this their whole lives, like they've already kissed each other and touched each other and been naked together, his body arching up into Wang Ji's.
Wang Ji runs his tongue along the plush inside of Weiying's upper lip, and Weiying makes a helpless "mm" sound. He presses Weiying back until they fetch up against the desk. Weiying sits down onto it and wraps his long legs around Wang Ji's waist, panting into Wang Ji's open mouth, his hands sliding down to unbutton the top button of Wang Ji's shirt. Wang Ji plunges his hands into Weiying's soft dark hair, taking his mouth with one more deep, searing kiss, and starts to kiss a line down the elegant column of Weiying's throat.
Lan Zhan, Weiying sighs.
The sound of it is too much.
Wang Ji grabs Weiying's hips and pulls them flush against him, sliding a hand up the lean muscle of his stomach, tilting Weiying's head back and licking into his mouth like he'll be able to taste his own name there.
Weiying laughs a little, the sound of his breath layered over the wet sounds of their lips parting and meeting again.
Lan Zhan, they'll see us, he murmurs.
Wang Ji leans his head against Weiying's shoulder.
I don't care, he mumbles into Weiying's smooth skin, which isn't exactly true, but feels true.
If we don't stop, Weiying points out, his breath hitching as Wang Ji lightly bites at his collarbone. This video is going to end up on the internet. This very excellent point manages to pierce through the haze of desire that's descended on Wang Ji's mind. He takes a deep, shaking breath, kisses Weiying's collarbone once more, and straightens up, regretfully taking a step back.
You're right.
Lan Zhan, Lan Zhan. Weiying's eyes are shining. His mouth is red and wet and swollen, and so pretty Wang Ji could die.
I like you so much, he whispers.
I like you too, Wang Ji says, swallowing around a sudden lump in his throat.
I like you so much.
They smile at each other for a minute, long enough that Wang Ji has to look away to keep from pressing Weiying back up against the desk. Weiying clears his throat, straightening his t-shirt. So, he says brightly, reaching to hand Wang Ji his discarded bagel. Breakfast? They eat in silence, a silence punctuated by blushes and smiles and longing looks, and drink their terrible coffee.
Do you think it's been long enough for Wen Chao to have left the building? Weiying asks when they finished.
Let's give it another half hour, Wang Ji says cautiously. He's sure Wen Chao has better things to do all day than hang out at work, but if he'd seen them kissing on the security camera, Wang Ji wouldn't put it past him to stick around a little longer in hopes of another show. Weiying returns to work at the computer. Wang Ji sits carefully on the other end of the cot from the loosened leg and tries to think about anything other than the taste of Weiying's mouth, the sound of his breath, the things he's going to do to Weiying when they get out of here. He needs to concentrate.
You were wrong, you know, he says after a while.
Hmm?
Weiying asks. I'm not the crown prince of anything, especially not Lan Industries. abdicated, I guess. I figured as much, Wei Ying says. But don't try to tell me there wouldn't be consequences if Wen Rohan killed you, abdication or no. Wei Ying is probably right. He hasn't had much to do with the Shanghai branch of the family since his father died, but they'd still likely retaliate in the event of his death, for the principle of the thing, if nothing else. He lapses back into thoughtful silence. After what seems like an eternity, Wei Ying says, Okay, it's been half an hour. He turns to look at Wang Ji, his eyes gone solemn and nervous. You ready? Wang Ji nods. Ready. He reaches down and starts unscrewing the bolts from their last few turns. Should we turn off the light? I'm pretty sure that camera has night vision, Wei Ying says. I've seen the LEDs. It would make it harder for them to tell what we were doing, though. Harder for us, too, though, Wang Ji points out, and probably not worth it if they can still see us. It would just draw their attention to the camera. He pulls the first bolt free. Okay, as soon as I pull the leg off, we need to move as fast as possible. Go through the wall, turn left, down the hall, up the stairs, left again, and straight back out the kitchen doors. From there, we need to get up the alley to the street as fast as possible. I doubt they'll try to shoot us or grab us in broad daylight in front of witnesses. Got it. Wei Ying smiles a little. I think that's the most I've ever heard you say at one time, Lan Zhan. Wei Ying, Wang Ji says with a sternness he doesn't completely feel. Focus. Sorry. Wei Ying rearranges his face into an approximation of seriousness. Once we get to the street, turn right, up the hill to 2nd Avenue, right on 2nd. The building is called Lutes. Got all that? Yes. Wang Ji takes his hand, squeezes it tight. Wei Ying brings their joined hands up to his face and kisses Wang Ji's knuckles. We can do this, Wang Ji says. Okay, Wei Ying takes a deep breath. Let's do this. Ready. Wang Ji unscrews the second bolt. Wei Ying moves to stand next to the door. Set. He removes the bolt, catching the aluminum cot leg in his hand. Go. Wang Ji pulls the cot leg free, leaps across the room, and smashes it into the lower half of the wall, bringing his considerable arm strength to bear, driving through the motion with his shoulders like he's swinging a golf club. The drywall smashes with a satisfying crack, opening up a hole about the size of an orange. He draws back and hits the wall again, widening the hole, and again, this time feeling the aluminum bar smash all the way through to the second layer of drywall. Drywall and plaster are starting to fall down in big chunks, cracks radiating out from the initial point of impact. A cloud of dust rises around him. He swings the bar twice more, feeling the connection through to the other side of the wall. The hole on their side is big enough now that he can see a black space opening up from where he's broken through into the darkened hallway. Hang on, Wei Ying says, as Wang Ji pulls back to swing again. He sits down on the floor, grabbing the jagged top edge of the hole Wang Ji's made and kicks with both feet. The hole on their side widens considerably, more chunks of drywall falling away, and he can see the drywall on the other side splintering outward, cracking and falling away under Wei Ying's sneakers. He gives just one more kick, and his legs break through into the hallway. He winks at Wang Ji and wiggles through the small space he's created, just like that. Wang Ji takes a moment to knock a few more chunks of drywall away from the hole to make room for his broader shoulders, and slithers out after him. The edges of the wall scrape at his sides, rucking his shirt up, and then they're both standing in the hallway, disheveled and covered in plaster dust. Wei Ying grins at him. Go, Wang Ji urges him. Even if their guards hadn't been paying close attention to the security camera, they've surely noticed something by now. The two of them sprint up the hallway, but they've already taken too long. The henchman who had brought them their breakfast throws open the door at the top of the stairs and rushes down them, two at a time, his gun already out. He makes it to the bottom of the stairs before they do and levels the gun at them. Stop right there, he gasps, out of breath, steadying the gun with both hands. Beside him, Wang Ji can hear Wei Ying's step falter, but he can't slow down now. He can't stop. He's running on pure love and adrenaline, and he uses the speed and momentum he's already accumulated to swing the metal bar he's still holding up into the bottom of the guy's hands, knocking the gun away. And then Wang Ji is barreling into him with his shoulder down like a linebacker. The gun sails in an arc behind them, up the stairs, and lands with a clatter, thankfully not going off.
Wen Chao's henchman struggles underneath Wang Ji, clawing at him, grabbing for the metal bar. Wang Ji pushes back and swings the bar down, hard, into the guy's face. There's an awful crunch, and the guy drops like a stone beneath him.
Holy shit, Wei Ying breathes behind him. Did you just kill that guy?
Wang Ji checks his pulse. The guy is still breathing, although that hand injury isn't going to be doing him any favors.
He's alive, he pants, wiping the sweat from his face. Get the gun.
Wei Ying scurries up the stairs to grab the gun. Wang Ji searches the unconscious henchman, pocketing his wallet in a bizarre reversal of the previous night's events.
Come on, come on, he thinks, digging into the guy's inner blazer pockets with shaking hands, fingers finally closing around the one thing he really needs, a cell phone.
He joins Wei Ying on the stairs.
You take this, Wei Ying says, handing him the gun, and he does, tucking the gun into his waistband and giving Wei Ying the metal bar to hold instead.
They hurry upward, bursting into the kitchen, which is cool and quiet at this time of the morning, and then just a few short steps out of the kitchen door and into the alley.
Don't stop, he tells Wei Ying. Don't stop until you hit the street.
Wei Ying nods and flies down the alley ahead of him. Wang Ji takes a moment to check the door behind them, but nobody's coming. He turns and pelts down the alley after Wei Ying, and together they run out into the sunlight of a regular Sunday morning in Belltown. People walking past with Starbucks cups and dogs on leashes, almost jarring in the normalcy of it all.
We did it, Wei Ying gasps, slowing down and grabbing his hand.
Holy fucking shit, I can't believe that worked. Passersby are giving them odd looks. They're bedraggled and out of breath and covered in plaster, which has caked itself into the fresh cut on Wei Ying's face. Wang Ji slides one arm around Wei Ying's waist and kisses him, hard, plaster dust and all.
Come on, Wang Ji says, taking his hand and starting to rush uphill towards 2nd Avenue. Let's go get Wen Ying.
The henchman's cell phone is charged, but locked. As they power walk up the hill, Wang Ji uses the emergency call function to call the direct dispatch line at the precinct, one of the only phone numbers he actually has memorized. He calls in the injured guard in Nightless City and requests backup at the condo building for a possible kidnapping, which, in addition to being true, is exciting enough that it should get every bored cop in a 5-mile radius down to the scene. When dispatch confirms that officers are en route to the building, Wang Ji hangs up and, for the first time since he pulled the leg off the cot, allows himself to take a cautious breath of relief. He keeps expecting a car full of Wens to careen around the corner towards them, but no one comes. His assumption that they wouldn't grab them off the street in broad daylight appears to have been correct. Help is on the way. If the guard Wang Ji took out with the bar was the only one still at Nightless City, he and Wei Ying might be able to get to Wen Ying before anyone from the Wens' organization raises the alarm. Everyone just might get out of this alive. Reader's note. We're almost at the end of the chapter, but this is only chapter 9. There's still chapter 10. I'm still nervous.
Okay.
The condo building's lobby is just as empty and silent as Wang Ji remembers it. Wei Ying clings to his hand in the elevator. Neither of them speak until they're deposited on the 6th floor.
Stay here by the elevator until I tell you it's clear,
Wang Ji tells him in a low voice. Wei Ying shakes his head.
Fuck that, Lan Zhan. Wen Ying is my friend. I'm coming with you.
Wang Ji stops in the hallway, turning to face him.
I have a gun, and I know how to use it. I should go first. We don't even know what we'll find in there, how many of them there might be.
Well, I have a metal bar, Wei Ying retorts, brandishing it. And you can either stand here arguing with me or let me help you.
We don't have time for this,
Wang Ji snaps, feeling an odd mixture of irritation and affection.
I agree,
Wei Ying replies with a glittering smile. So let's go. Wang Ji draws the gun.
Stay behind me, at least.
The gun is another Sig Sauer P226. Wang Ji's fired one a few times and has logged plenty of range time with similarly sized pistols, but it still feels clunky and unfamiliar in his hand. Better than going into an uncertain situation unarmed, though. The door to the condo is locked. Wang Ji and Wei Ying exchange a look. Wang Ji grabs the metal bar from Wei Ying's hand and wedges it between the door and the frame. He kicks it twice, hard, and the door frame cracks and splinters.
That was very cool, Wei Ying whispers.
He hands the bar back to Wei Ying and drives the door open with his shoulder, spinning to train the gun on the main living area.
It's much as he remembered it. Generic furniture and horrible art. Although the last time Wangji was here, there hadn't been a man handcuffed to the chair in the corner. Wen Ying gapes at Wangji, saucer-eyed. "Is anyone else here?" Wangji asks, and Wen Ying shakes his head no. "Wen Ying!" Wei Ying breathes behind him. He drops the bar and runs to his friend. "Oh my god, are you okay?" "Wei Wuxian?" Wen Ying asks, looking shell-shocked. "What are you doing here?" "We're rescuing you," Wei Ying grins, striking a heroic pose. Wen Ying glances uncertainly at Wangji. "Who's this?" Wei Ying looks back over his shoulder at Wangji, his heart blazing out of his face like the sun. "This is my friend Lan Zhan." "Oh." Wen Ying blinks at Wangji, comprehension dawning over his face. "Oh, dip." He looks back at Wei Ying, raising his eyebrows. "That's sexy roof cop?" Wangji remembers the roommate group text. "If you start dating a cop, Xiaoxing Chen is going to be so pissed at you." He feels his cheeks growing warm. "You were right," Wen Ying says in a whisper that Wangji can easily hear from where he's standing. "He is really hot." "Wen Ying!" Wei Ying hisses. He's examining the cuffs holding Wen Ying to the chair, but Wangji can see his ears reddening. "Can we talk about this later?" Wangji clears his throat. "They left you here alone?" Wen Ying nods. "They never have before, but they got a call like 10 minutes ago and just rushed out of here." Wei Ying gives him a significant look over Wen Ying's head. "Think that was us?" "It's likely." The Wens could have called reinforcements to the nightclub, or possibly just decided to pull up stakes once they discovered the two of them missing. "We shouldn't hang around here, though." "Is there a key or anything we could use on these cuffs?" Wei Ying asks. "Probably," Wen Ying says, looking mournful. "I don't know where, though." "You look for a way to get him loose," Wangji tells Wei Ying. "I should clear the rest of the condo." Gun still drawn, Wangji methodically searches the other rooms, one at a time, looking for hidden guards or, while he's at it, a handcuff key. Nothing in the large, pristine master bedroom or the attached bathroom. Nothing in the smaller bathroom off the hallway or the second bedroom, where, from the looks of the rumpled bedding, they've been allowing Wen Ying to sleep. The deserted condo building is so silent it's almost creepy. You should be hearing sirens by now. The precinct's not that far away. What could possibly be taking so long? He's straining his ears for the welcome sound of backup arriving, so much so that he doesn't register that Wei Ying and Wen Ying have stopped talking as well. He walks back into the living room, which has gone as still and silent as the rest of the condo, and stops cold. Wen Ying is still handcuffed to the chair, but his genial face gone pale with outraged terror. Wei Ying stands in the middle of the room, facing Wangji, looking bitter and a little nauseated. Meng Yao is standing directly behind him, holding Wei Ying's body in front of him like a shield, the barrel of a gun pressed firmly against Wei Ying's temple. "Hello, Lao Mengji." Meng Yao smiles over Wei Ying's shoulder. Author's End Notes. This chapter is accompanied by donations to the Northwest Community Bail Fund and to Life After Hate. As of this chapter, this is officially the longest fic I've ever written. I couldn't have done it without y'all, thanks to everyone who's been following the story and commenting as we go. Thanks, as always, to Spoops and Ericacia for baiting. Coming next week in Chapter 10, our story concludes. 3 weeks later, 6 months later. Well, I knew there was something coming, obviously. Chapter 10 isn't short enough to be an epilogue. There was going to be some mess. I feel like I am remembering something. I can't tell if I'm really remembering something or if I'm just concerned because of things that are in the text. But that he's not hearing backup seems like a really bad sign. And that Meng Yao is smiling. Don't like that at all. Okay, well, this is where the chapter ends. I will be recording the next chapter sometime soon. Okay. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.